You're listening to The Real Short Box, a comic book podcast made for geeks by geeks.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. We are The Real Short Box. My name is Donald. I am here with, who am I here with? Oh, my God. I'm here with Kevin, who's sitting on my lap. Kevin, get off my lap. This is very awkward. And Chris, could you get off Kevin's lap? This is not comfortable for me.
No, I'm comfortable.
Come on, guys.
Quite some dreams.
Get up off my lap. There. Move. Go find your own seat. Just because I got the coolest seat in town, which is my lap. No, but seriously, folks, thank you for tuning in. We are here today. What are we talking about, guys? Oh my God, Kevin, I already know, but you go ahead, because I feel like you're going to crush this. Here we go.
You'll be discussing revenge films, films of vengeance, when someone's been done dirty, when someone's family. Go with the
films of vengeance. I thought you were going to get like...
Righteous indignation is what you want me to say.
Fancier. I mean, I could have said that.
Okay. People who are seeking, shall we say, compensation for something that was done wrong to them. And if they have to take it in blood, they will take it in blood.
Taking it in blood. Yes, sir. Take it in blood. Yeah, we're going to talk revenge films. This is going to be fun. Why revenge films and how does that relate to comic books? Oh, it's so easy. I mean, off the top of my head, I can think of, I don't know, maybe James O'Barr's lovely comic book series that, if I recall, I want to say originated with Kitchen Sink Press, but it could be wrong. It might have been another indie company. But we're talking about The Crow, Brendan Lee.
I thought it was Caliber.
Yeah, was it Caliber?
Caliber. I think it's Caliber.
It might have been Caliber. Yeah, you're probably right. What do I know? I know it did eventually end up in Kitchen Sink, so there's that, I guess. But yeah, or maybe Caliber was Grendel? Who the fuck knows? I don't know. No one knows. No one knows these comic books. And Grendel might be a revenge type thing too, but I don't think it's a movie. It got optioned, but it did not get put into a film. Not yet, anyway. So cross your fingers on that if you are a Grendel fan. However, that being said, The Crow dies. It's the ultimate revenge film. Brendan Lee's character dies an untimely death and is brought back in the form of the Crow, which is basically the wrath of kind of God in a way, or just like cold-hearted revenge. And when you were killed unceremoniously. I don't know how you could be killed ceremoniously. I guess you could, like, sacrificial wise. Yeah. But if you were killed unceremoniously, then you could possibly be possessed by the spirit of the Crow, which then allows you to enact your revenge upon the people that did you wrong in your former life. So that's a great one to start out with, just to show you that it is very much a part of the comic book world also. With that being said, I know, Kevin, you're chomping at the bit waiting to talk about one, so I'm going to throw it out to you for the floor here and see what you have to say.
All right, I'll give you my first one real quick. It's a classic, considered one of the most controversial films in history, especially going back to the late 1970s. It's called I Spit on Your Grave, or originally entitled Day of the Woman. And it's a basic story of an aspiring young writer named Jennifer Hills. She goes out into the middle of a forest, in a cabin, just to have privacy, get out away from the big city, just to, be there to type up and write her novel. And unfortunately, she is disturbed by four dudes, four very thirsty dudes. Four very disgustingly thirsty dudes who harass her, eventually get their hands on her, and unfortunately assault her. And it's very disturbing. They pretty much show it, so to speak. And it's deep. It's very disturbing. Very disturbing. Mm. But I think the reason why they did that was to show, obviously, the horrors and to show that you know, assaulting women is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, to me, in my humble opinion, it's probably the worst crime you could actually commit to someone, to be honest with you. You know, to
so if I like if you pissed me off, Kevin, I would go assault a woman, and then that would how would that work? Like
I don't know why you would do that. It doesn't make any sense to me.
That's what I'm saying. Like that doesn't make sense. So how's that like the worst crime you could do? Like is assault, like so. In other words, I wanted to perform the worst crime I could do to you for like doing me wrong somehow, I would go assault a woman.
No, you assault me.
Because you're a woman?
No.
I'm so
if you assault a woman, a man, a child, yeah, to me, in my humble opinion, that's one of the worst things you could do because that person lives with that for the rest of their life. Now, with murder, as horrible as that is, at some point, your suffering will end.
Because
they're dead. You know, you
killed them.
Yeah, you get a chainsaw, so you cut them up.
If somebody's suffering, you should kill them. So,
I'm not saying that either. Come on, man.
What?
Wait, you're putting words into my mouth.
I don't know.
He might be saying it, but that's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly that's what you do. At least I thought you did. Like, I'm pretty sure you probably have, like, you that's why you're staying where you're staying, because there's a backyard where you can bury the body.
You can indeed bury bodies in a backyard. However, today...
It's not the best idea to bury it in your own backyard, though. I'm going to tell you that.
Well, obviously, with today's forensic technology, and of course, if you move or you die yourself, well, eventually, more than likely, someone's going to figure out, oh, wow, there's a body in the backyard. Or you see some of those... true crime stories, they hide bodies in the crawl space of a house. So,
yeah,
you know,
as we all know, the best way to do it is to chop them up finely and to serve them into chili, right?
That is a way to do it too. However, you still could be caught doing that as well. Now, I know you're watching Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 with Dennis Hopper, and maybe you got the idea from that.
No, never seen that movie.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking of Fried Green Tomatoes, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's a film where that happens.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did that in Fried Green Tomatoes.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah. It's kind of a fucked up movie, Kevin.
Yeah, that's disturbing.
Yeah, and then they abuse children and women and men in there. They beat them up.
That's not good. Not good at all.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But our victim of the soon-to-be heroine of the story, Jennifer Hills, does take her vengeance upon these four men. Because, you know, unfortunately, after they did what they did to her, they left her for dead.
Mm-hmm.
But she recovered, though. She, good. You know, she found the energy and the wits and the will to say, you know what? I'm going to kill these fools. And one by one,
on their graves.
Yeah. And one by one, she took them all out in different ways, too, if I might add. One guy really got it good. Let me tell you that she seduced one of the guys, get in the bathtub with her, and she had like a knife hit it in the tub with her. And she basically gave him an old school, before it even happened, actually, a bobbit.
Oh, I'm out on that. No.
Oh, yes.
No.
Yes. And then she left him to bleed to death. And boy, did he bleed to death.
Jesus. But, Chris, what movie do you have here? Good Lord.
Well, I'm gonna go with a double revenge film here.
Kevin went dark real fast.
It's revenge.
Speaking of dark, I'm gonna go double revenge here.
Oh shit!
We got a movie from South Korea from 2003, which was actually a remake of a movie in Japan, which is also interesting because it was remade in America years later.
This is a Japanese film?
Originally, yes. But the one everyone knows of is the North Korean, or the South Korean version of it.
I'm sure there's a North Korean version too.
Anyway, so this movie, guy, he basically gets arrested on his daughter's fourth birthday, and then gets kidnapped and held hostage. And then while he's kidnapped, his wife gets killed, and he's framed for the murder. After he gets out of prison, he goes on a revenge tear and gets revenge on everybody who not only killed his wife and framed him and tortured and kidnapped him. Has some amazing long take fight scenes that kind of was where it kind of introduced America to that style of fight scene.
Yeah, good lord, it was the it was like the stairwell scene.
Yeah, the stairwell. Yeah.
It definitely Daredevil from Netflix, that series, took some of their shots and their pacing and stuff from that version of Old Boy. They had to have.
Yeah, but it has a very twist ending in that basically meets his
spoilers.
Spoilers. If you're not seeing the movie from 21 years ago,
right.
Watch it. basically meets this girl and like he like they hit it off and they have, you know, the hookup and stuff like that. And then at the end of the movie, you find out that the girl was actually his daughter. And then you find out that he was hypnotized and everything was basically he was forced into meeting her and like hooking up with her as a source of revenge by this guy whom he had seen having an incestuous relationship at school with his sister. And then he went and told a bunch of people and he got teased and the girl went and killed herself. And so the guy, you know, to get revenge for his sister, forced the father to have sex with his own daughter.
Wow,
double revenge here.
Good lord, yeah, that is a really good double revenge plot. Wow, that'll make you think twice upon meeting anybody, especially if you're an older dude and you meet a younger girl. Be like, oh, is this my daughter? But
yeah, you got to do the math beforehand. Like, all right, if she, okay.
Yeah.
All right. If she's like, okay, when did I first have sex? Okay. All right, she's good. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. When did I first? Oh, yeah. I don't know. Okay. 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 So we've got these. One of them that I was thinking of in the top of my head, like, and I'll be as brief as possible. But I was thinking Darkman. And I know Darkman wasn't originally a comic book, but they did make it into a comic book, just like John Wick, by the way, which is also a superiorly freaking cool revenge film. More for like, you killed my dog, man. You didn't have to do that. But Darkman is basically, you know, this guy's life gets fucked. He's a scientist and wrong place, wrong time. And they, some mobsters, some gangsters fuck him up and basically boil him in a vat of acid, kind of a lot of chemicals. And the warehouse he was in explodes and they think that he's dead and they move on doing their dastardly mobster things. And much to everybody's surprise, he is not dead. And now has the capability of making people's replicating their faces to where he can become anyone and he can look like anyone. And creates the persona of Darkman, a tattermandolin, so to speak, a man, a rag man of sorts, a gentleman covered in tattered rags, hiding from the abnormality of his life within what is as close to normalcy within the real world as he can make it. Very fascinating film. Sam Raimi, I believe, co-wrote and directed it. I know he directed it for sure. Originally supposed to star Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell's actually the last figure of Darkman that we see at the end. Instead, and that is about as good as Raimi could get with Bruce. Liam, being the bigger name at the time, then got top billing on that and took the role, and Bruce was left with the scraps. But we all love scrappy Bruce Campbell, so you can never do him wrong. He always finds a way to make any role he's playing memorable, which is great. But Liam Neeson did an awesome, awesome performance. Like, there's a scene in there. Because of what happened to him, it kind of fractured his mind. And so he has anger issues and he's at a fair and he's trying, like he's there with, I think it was just this lady that he was into and he was trying to get her a pink elephant. And the guy kind of hoodwinked him and he loses his mind and snaps a dude's fingers in half, basically. And everybody's screaming and the background falls away and it's just flames and stuff. And it's so hokey and amazing. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's another comic book-esque revenge film that I think is well worth the price of admission. Kevin, you got another one real quick?
Yes, let's go with Kill Bill.
Oh, there you go. A little Quentin action, a little Tarantino. Most of Tarantino's flicks, like Django Unchained is another one. Hateful Eight, they're all like, almost all of them, Jackie Brown, are kind of all revenge flicks, right?
Yeah, take some form of vengeance.
Yeah. I mean, even Pulp Fiction, like all of these.
Yeah, they all have some form of vengeance involved, some kind of vengeance theme. But yes, this is also a movie that came out in 2003. And originally, it was supposed to be like the original four-hour cut, but they split it into two volumes. But regardless, it's basically one movie. Mm-hmm. And it's about Uma Thurman character called The Bride. And she is part of this, well, was part of this organization called the Deadly Viper Assassination Squad. And she decided to leave the organization, you know, on her own terms. But the late, great David Carradine, who plays Bill in the title role, did not appreciate that. And shot her up while she was pregnant, while she was about to get married to another dude, which also probably upset him. And, you know, some of her old comrades were part of the plot to kill her. So everyone at the wedding was murdered and died except for her. And she survived in the hospital. She got out and one by one went after every single member of the Deadly Viper Assassination Squad, you know, engaged in very complex fighting sequences. And also, speaking of something very comic booky, but, you know, very, very manga-esque, very anime-style sequence involving one of the members of the Deadly Viper Assassination Squad, Oren Ishii, played by Lucy Liu.
Mm-hmm.
That was a cool sequence. You know, you hear about her origins, you know, what she went through as a child that made her become a leader of the Japanese Yakuza and her becoming a badass, shall we say. But, you know, her battle with The Bride was awesome, especially at the end of Volume 1. Great, great battle. Excellent cinematography that I know that Professor Turner, I'm sure, would concur with how that was put together. Fun film. I know some people prefer Volume 1 over Volume 2, but to me, they're both enjoyable. They have certain differences, but I like both films.
Right. I found a weird thing that I always found with Volume 1 and Volume 2 is that every woman that I've ever spoken to has preferred Volume 1 over Volume 2. And I don't know. I guess it's the hyper-violence, or maybe it's the introduction of the characters or something that really just does it for them, that most women, I'm not going to say all, but every woman I've ever spoken to about Kill Bill, which one did you prefer if you had to pick Volume 1 or Volume 2? They were always went with Volume 1. And I found that absolutely fascinating. I am a Volume 2 guy just because I feel like there's more story there.
Right.
It is a little less action. It's still action-packed, don't get me wrong, but there's a little more story there, a little more backstory, and some really cool analogies that happens between the Bride and Bill, and I really appreciated that.
I originally wasn't fond of 2 at first, but, you know, after rewatching it, you know, as the years went on, I appreciate it more. Because maybe in my mind, because of Volume 1, I was expecting this huge fight sequence between her and Bill.
Mm.
And that was a mistake. But then later on, you know, as you get older and more mature, you realize, you know what, that's not the point. The point is not her to have some crazy, you know, gun battle or sword fight with Bill. No, it played out the way it needed to play out in the story. Mm-hmm. It actually, you know, as you get it made sense. It made perfect sense. If anything, the highlight of Volume 2 was the master himself. Pai Wei. Oh, I love that scene, that whole sequence of where she's being trained.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so much fun. He's like torturing her. He's like about to break her arms. Like, yes, you American women, you know, you act this way. You take from a man, you know. It's kind of just so funny. She's like, ay.
Just the strength. The strength of the character that you learn and how she survived and how that kind of it embroiled her, or how that strengthened her to the point where she was able to stay calm, cool, and collected when buried alive.
Yep.
And was able to still find her way out and escape. That is pretty amazing.
And she earned Pai Wei's respect by learning that special technique that he didn't teach to any of the other students.
Mm-hmm.
So, awesome. Professor Turner, do you have any words about this fine film?
Well, you know what? I can't look at... The big thing for me for this film is I can't look at it as two separate films. I have to look at it as...
As one film.
One film separated into two parts. Like, literally, like, I watched... You know, one day I went and watched the first half of this film and I watched the second half a couple years later. Like, I can't just say one is better than the other because I feel like... It is, like, literally one film. And so, for me, it's... My favorite scene is in the first half, I should say, but I think it's the first half. Is that the samurai scene? Mm-hmm. The first one? Yeah, that's my favorite scene. But yeah, as overall, like the movie, it just I can't, like, you can't say who, you know, I like this movie more than this one, because it's one movie to me. And I've watched it as one movie, and I think it works best as one movie.
That's fair. I do agree. I do like how they didn't make you wait forever between volume one and volume two, though.
Yeah, just a few months. Yeah.
Yeah. Which was very clever in my very humble opinion, was not waiting, making you wait a year for the next one. Oh, wait, there's another one coming in 1 year. No, you want to strike while the fire is hot and while the iron's hot, so to speak. You want to strike while everybody's kind of worked up and agitated about it. And
like the Deathly Hallows, you had to wait a year for part two.
Yeah, you know, and that kind of not nearly as cool as only having to wait a month or two. That's pretty freaking cool. That's a treat, you know. That's a treat. That's a real treat. Speaking of real treats, Chris, what do you have for us? Anything else before we call it a
I got a nice Irishman.
Is it called The Irishman?
No, it's not. It is. Okay. It's an Irishman in the movie. He's getting revenge on a bunch of people who kidnapped his daughter.
Oh, I know where you're going with this. But yes. Kevin, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for money, I don't have any. But what I do have is a particular set of skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not find you. But if something like that. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you. I was pretty close. That was pretty close.
That's pretty good. So yes, the movie I'm talking about is Taken.
Best.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, made 2008, I believe it was. Has Liam Neeson, Mackie Grace, Katie Cassidy, Famke Janssen. And it pretty much is a CIA, ex-CIA guy who is a bunch of Albanian human traffickers, like, kidnap his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And her best friend, I believe. And he goes and uses his specific set of skills to, get revenge and not only kill all of them, but save his daughter and friend. And then it ended up being like a... Two other movies and a TV series.
I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. That's what it was. I got it now. I got it straightened out in my head.
But hell of a lot of fun to watch the movie.
How was the series? Did you watch the series?
I saw the first episode.
Yeah, I feel like I did too, but it was very forgettable.
Yeah, and that's why I never watched the rest of it.
Okay, that's fair. Did you watch the John Wick series, the Continental or whatever, or the Continental Breakfast, I think it was called?
I've not seen it yet, no.
It was all about Keanu Reeves getting orange juice and some cereal, and I think a bagel with some cream cheese or something.
Pretty sure it was a prequel to the movie. It takes place in the different decade. So.
Gotcha. That makes sense. That makes more sense than what I thought. Okay. All right. Anything else? Any others that you want to throw out real quick? I'm sorry. We're going to have to call it an early pod, I guess you could say. Honestly, we could go on forever and ever and ever, because revenge films are as old as time.
Plenty of them.
I mean, just throw a rock at any Western. I mean, Unforgiven, 310 to Yuma. You know, you throw a rock at any Western, you're going to have a revenge flick. You throw a rock at any, like, historical, like, classic, you're probably going to have a revenge type of flick, you know. Gladiator, for one, is a revenge flick. And, you know, of course, maybe not exactly word for word how it happened at all, you know.
Are there any non-action films that are revenge flicks?
I was going to mention
comedies.
The Talents of Mr. Ripley, wouldn't that kind of be a revenge flick in a way? Or am I wrong?
I was going to go dark with the French film Irreversible, but maybe I'll say that for another time.
there's another one called Addicted to Love, if I recall. Comedies are rife with it as well.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, maybe?
Sarah Marshall to a certain extent, yeah. A lot of that, a lot of it, like comedies in general are like, oh, they broke up with me and I'm teaming up with that other person's ex and we're going to fuck up this person's world. You know, we're going to make this person seem like they're going crazy and, you know, so on and so forth. Yeah, there's a ton of revenge flicks that just aren't action. It just so happens that those are what we've discussed, which is interesting enough.
Well, another quick one, Mortal Kombat, the movie. Remember at the beginning, your brother's soul is mine.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's really a revenge film, though.
Shang Tsung killed Liu Kang's brother and he got his revenge.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I don't know if that's the sole like driving force of the game and the film so much as it's just like a side plot or a side story, a way to keep it going. Which I mean, is fine.
You can also say the same thing about why Scorpion wants to beat the shit out of Sub-Zero, because Sub-Zero shot and killed his whole family. So.
Absolutely. That's
the storyline in the movie, but it's not what the movie's about.
Yeah. It's about a tournament to depict who's the champion.
It's a revenge tournament.
Or some shit like that, yeah.
It's a revenge tournament.
Speaking of revenge, if you really want to torment somebody, you make them listen to this podcast, everybody. We usually air this about once a week, although we've been a little tardy, I will admit, just because there's a lot of things in play and there's a lot that goes behind the scenes for not only the audio podcast, but the live shows that we do as well. And sometimes, you know, the audios take a little backseat, which is unfortunate. And we're trying to not let that happen for too long because we like to have that content available for you guys. So thank you for tuning in and being a part of this podcast. We do appreciate you very much. Again, thanks to Kevin. Thanks to Chris. And thanks to you, the listener. And if we don't see you out and about anytime soon, perhaps we'll see you.
At a less vindictive, less vengeful, but always righteous comic book shop.
This has been The Real Short Box. We'll see you at the comic shop. Thanks for listening.